And a good Wednesday evening to you, and welcome into Smashville Live. We are excited to be out here in Franklin. Good job by Ryan Porth and Jeremy K. Gover, little Preds insiders out here. We're out here at Scouts Pub. I've never been here. This place is fantastic. Porth is over there stuffing his face. Gover is trying to take Scott's Olympic gold medal out of this place. That's going to be unsuccessful. Scott Hamilton, that laugh you just heard. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing just great.
I don't look. I'm just going to be honest. And Cody Hodson is supposed to join us.
I love Cody, man.
He'll be here shortly.
We invited him to come out and help us, you know, with our special needs skater program, and he just started showing up every week.
Really?
Yes. You know, it's all skaters with intellectual disability, and he just came out and he said, "You know what? I really love this," and he just kept every time he'd be there. It's just awesome. He just developed big relationships with all the skaters, and they love him, and I love him, and he's just the best guy. Just the best guy.
Well, a lot of people feel the same about you. Like I said, I don't know why I'm here. You could easily do this on your own. You don't need me.
No, I always need somebody to run, you know, to drive the train.
Just to dribble the ball up the floor.
I'll be the tour guide. You drive the train. You know, it's like on our left is Hannah Morris from the...
I'll be Jason Kidd.
Doing social media.
Scott, are you open yet? So you got to be like Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
I'm open. Back to me.
Love that guy.
I was going to say, you've done a little work around Will Ferrell before, haven't
you? Yeah, Blades of Glory. Man, you know, it's just he's so quiet, and he's
really?
So humble and just laid back, and then the camera goes on and just like a
just
switch
poof.
It's like bam, it's like I'm here and I'm funny and I'm gonna be really funny, and like the crew was just dying laughing. We saw him do this one take, and I can't tell you the scene because, you know, I don't know what the audience is, but you know, it's one take, and he had a different line for every single take. And it was hilarious.
Unscripted, he's just going with it.
He went with it. Yeah, it was awesome.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, he's just so funny. And John Heder, you know, I didn't know he was an identical twin until the opening night thing. And it was like, did somebody roofie me? Because I'm seeing two of them right now, and this isn't funny. And they're just identical twins. There's two Napoleon Dynamites out there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy.
There's been a lot of cool news. I don't know. Let's start in your world, okay? And there's a lot of things in your world, but let's start with the first ever event.
At Bridgestone Arena.
Ever. In Nashville, in the brand spanking new arena.
Yeah, the U.S. Figure Skating Championship.
It was, Scott, right after I moved here, and I was under the impression, and so I got a little history lesson, even though I've been here 20-plus years, I thought it was Amy Grant's Christmas.
Ah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
It was the first, like, concert, but this was the first ever event.
Major sporting event. And Tara Lipinski beat Michelle Kwan at that Nationals. It's a big deal. And then she went on the next year to win the Olympic gold medal. So, you know, it's extraordinary that, you know, it's always been on my heart since, you know, the Predators invited me to join them out at Ford Ice Center and, you know, build skating out there. And you know, I just think it's a perfect city to host the Nationals. And not just any Nationals, but the Olympic year Nationals that pretty, you know, it chooses the team, basically. So all the, you know, skaters there will be trying to get on an Olympic team, and, you know, the stakes are high, and it's going to be really exciting. And who puts on big events better than Nashville? You know, look at the draft, look at the, you know, All-Star game, look at, you know, everything they do, the finals, you know, Stanley Cup finals. Everything they do is bigger than life, and I think that's going to be the same with Olympic fever in 2022 and the anchor sport of the Olympic Games. You know, the team being chosen in Nashville is a really big deal.
So here in our city, in our fine city, the team is going to be chosen with that event in 2022.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of criteria that goes into, you know, how the team is chosen and what, when, where, and who, and how. But basically, you know, I grew up in America, and I think that you earn your spot. And, you know, the biggest criteria for choosing the team is how people skate in that national championship. So there's still other criteria. Like, there's been odd things that have happened in the past, you know, but generally, it's like, here's the people that have shown what they've done internationally and nationally over the last, 2 years. And here's the momentum, and here's our team. And are they going to get chosen on? Yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
In your circles, how much, because we always talk about it in other sports, Scott, where people are constantly talking. It's cool. It never gets old, us, people talking about our city. But in your circles, which is global, it's not just North America. I mean, everywhere you've been. But in particular, North America, how much do they, and how much did that help this coming here in 2022 of just what you said, putting on big events, people take notice? I mean, the MLS, it's no secret.
Yeah.
Their commissioner said, I came here for Stanley Cup fight, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
We want to be here.
Yeah.
We want to be a part of this.
Everybody wants to be here. You know, it just was one of the, when I moved here like 15 years ago, I came from L.A., and that's a long, I never really wanted to live in L.A., but I did, right? So I move here, and it's kind of dark at night, when you're driving around compared to L.A., and it's kind of quiet, It's not like they roll up the sidewalks at 9 o'clock or anything. It's not like that at all, but, and then, there was, if you're trying to go out to eat, there's, very few choices back then. And now there's a new, incredible restaurant opening every week, and there's a million things to do, and it's just this town is alive, and there's traffic, and more traffic, and lots of traffic, and it's just, wow. I mean, it's just really blossomed into, it was always kind of like a big city amenities, small town accountability
yep.
town, and I hope we never lose that.
Yep.
But now it's become, it's got this big old spotlight on it, and it's become kind of this trendy, hip, cool, it city, and it's, and, when I sort of planted the seed, to have the Nationals here, all I did was mention it once, and it just...
Really?
Yeah, it was right after I mentioned it once to Butch Spiridon, who was the CEO of the National Convention Visitors Bureau. He goes, I was part of that. I did that. It was me.
Yes.
I did. It's like, great. And then the next call
it's like
I
Butch
get...
Butch and Scott Ramsey, they've been doing this stuff from the beginning.
Yeah. And it was, I got called into the principal's office. I got called into Sean Henry called and said, I need you to be in my office tomorrow. And I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to have the, National Sports Commission and David Kell's going to be there to see if we can open up the building. And it's like, oh, and then before I went in, I got a call from U.S. Figure Skating, Bob Dunlop, going, I hear there might be a chance that you guys would host the 2022 Nationals. And I go, yeah. And he goes, just so you know, and this is the guy that leads the bid committee, he goes, Nashville's number one on our wish list. And so at that point I go, right now, all I can do is mess this thing up, right? So I'm just going to be really quiet, and I'm just going to offer what I can and not instigate anything. I've done enough. Let's let this thing run its course. And, of course, it went through the bid committee. It just sailed through, and everybody was really impressed. And, Sean was there to meet everybody and, just say, we do big events really well. And if you want us to host this all the time, we will.
Wow.
And their lies, they got really big. And it's like, well, let's just get through the first one first.
Let's worry about 2022.
Yeah, let's just do that. And, it's really cool. And they changed the way that the Nationals are run. It used to be novice, junior, senior all the way through. Now it's going to be junior, senior for that week. And then the novice, intermediate, and juvenile will be out of Bellevue for a huge development camp. And they'll be skating. And they'll be, people are welcome to come in and watch all that. And they're going to be populating all the hotels and the restaurants. And it's going to be really exciting to see that level of skating come to Nashville and just excite all of our skaters and really give everybody a big old gust of wind in their sails.
You being the humble guy that you are and the cool guy, see, now Cody Hodson's here with us. I would have told the story that they just kept saying no, 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 and I just was relentless, and I kept
no.
breaking down the door, and I just kept telling him, you've got to come to Nashville.
Yeah.
And I just was relentless, and finally the efforts pulled it off in 2020. Here we come. But
no,
Scott just like, no, I just threw it out once. It was like a gremlin. I fed it at midnight. It multiplied, and the next thing you know, it's coming.
That's it. It's like, no. It's
it was
like,
a chia pet. He just watered it, and it grew.
All you need to do is just say, this is a really, it's going to happen. All you have to do is just give permission to people to go, yeah, let's do this. And it's like, all I did was just mention it once, and it just took off. So it's all the ghosts of, Sean and Scott and Butch and all those guys that are going to make this thing happen. I'm going to be there to be the biggest cheerleader and to try to throw a big old spotlight on this thing and really grease the wheels whenever I can. But other than that, I'm totally staying out of the way. You know, it's like
golden touch.
I'm going to get
start it and let it go.
I don't want to get run over. You know, I'm not as quick as I used to be.
You're saying it's going to be moving downhill. It's going to be coming quick.
It's going to be fast. Yeah. I mean, it's less than two. It's 2 years and a couple months away, and bam, you know, it's a spotlight on Nashville. And it is the anchor sport in the Winter Olympic Games. Like, it all revolves around figure skating for ratings and everything else. And there's going to be a lot of great stories. You've got, you know, Nathan Chen, who's kind of breaking every record that Ken is scoring and beating two-time Olympic champions handily in their home country. You know, so there's a lot of good things that are coming into that Olympic year. So, Hubble and Donahue are on the podium in ice dancing, kind of right in the footsteps of Davis and White, who won the Olympic gold medal in Sochi. So, there's a lot of good things happening, and the ladies' event will be strong. We have a little girl coming up, Alyssa Liu, who's doing quads, and she'll be old enough at that point to actually compete at that level. Now she's too young. She's the U.S. ladies' national champion, and she's too young to compete at the world championships or even in the Grand Prix events. So
how do you get that good that fast, Scott?
You know, her story is remarkable. You know, she didn't have a mom. She has a dad. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, almost like Blades of Glory with Jimmy McElroy. Right. You know, but it's like she is remarkable. She's got a big personality, and she's got talent upon talent upon talent. And she's just going to get stronger and better. You know, you just hope she doesn't get hurt doing all the things that she's doing. But she's just unbelievable. And, you know, and again, just a fascinating story. You know, if people are on their computers right now, just look up Alyssa Liu, U.S. women's champion, and you're going to be astounded. But this is the young girl's story and how well she's doing right now internationally.
Alyssa Liu. You heard it first here tonight in Franklin.
Yeah.
And then everybody who hears it, you'll hear it a zillion times until 2022.
Franklin is the center of the known universe, right? It really is.
Well, by the way, going back to what we were talking about, stuff like this is how this didn't exist. All this stuff, most of it, you come through here, this was all land, and now look at it.
And this particular Scouts Pub really put Brussels sprouts in my, like, that's now a staple for me. It's so good here. It's just unbelievable.
There you go. The ring endorsement.
Half an hour out of my way just to come here and have Brussels sprouts.
We will come back. We'll bring Cody. In fact, we'll talk about what Cody is doing, right, in the community and for you, Scott. And we'll get into a lot more. Plus, we've got Cliff tickets, Blackhawks. Gina and Cliff have given me the thumbs up.
But no, not to Chicago fans. Only Blackhawks tickets to Predator fans.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. We got to clear that up.
Yeah.
We're going to have people flying in just for the show, just to be in Scouts Pub to get tickets.
That is not allowed.
No,
that
it's
is not.
Not
allowed. Preds fans only. Now, we are going to give tickets away Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Blackhawks. We will come back with a lot more here from Scouts Pub in Franklin. You are listening to Smashville Live right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Here on Smashville Live here on this Wednesday evening, every week brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We've got a Predators ticket giveaway right at the front door here at Scouts Pub in Franklin. Great place to come hang out. Darren McFarland, Scott Hamilton, Cody Hotson. And you know what? All you have to do is just walk in here and put your name on a piece of paper and a little info, and you may be in Bridgestone Arena Saturday night as the Predators take on the Blackhawks. So we were talking, Cody, a little bit about kind of what you're doing. Of course, former Predator, Cody Hotson here at the table. And so you've been around town since your playing days. You've been working, and you've been working with Scott. And you've been doing stuff for the community. So tell everybody what you've been up to these days so we can talk about it.
Sure, yeah. I've just been trying to stay busy after having to retire. The Preds were kind enough to offer me a position to oversee kind of the youth development role. So all the kids in the Little Preds program between 4 to 9 years old, they're given free gear and NHL alumni coaching. So Jay Moore and myself are the alumni that kind of oversee things and make sure the kids are having fun. That's the main thing. But so that's what we do for part of the year. And then The other part of the afternoon I really enjoyed doing, too, is working with Scott's All-Stars. That takes up Wednesdays and Saturdays, but that's just the best part of my week, going out there and playing with the kids and seeing the enjoyment they get out of it.
So what age group are we talking about?
The Little Preds is 4 to 9 years old, yep. And that's anyone who's never played hockey before, and we're just trying to get them into it, and so they can, you know, really get hooked on the game. From the NHL perspective, we want as many kids as possible playing, and that breeds the next generation of fans. So as long as we can get them in and have them fun, and to have fun, they need to know the basics. They need to know how to skate, scoot, you know, celebrate and score and make some friends. So that's the main thing. We want to make sure they're having fun and they'll want to come back. And the odds are that kids are playing hockey and wanting to come back, then they'll become fans as they get older as well.
My son, who just turned 8, went through that whole program out there. And we put him on skates at about probably 3. But he went through that. And I think what a lot of people don't know, and this is what I try to pass along, just kind of going through this as a parent, there's programs with, when we did all this at Fordyce Center in Antioch, because there was no Bellevue.
Yeah.
So that's nice, but that's great because we're in Rutherford County, so it worked out perfect. But there are programs, like when the All-Star game came through here, USA Hockey, and they fitted them with gear head to toe. Yeah. For free.
Well, all the kids want the gear, right?
All the kids want the gear.
That's the main selling point.
Skates, well, okay, but I really want the gear.
Yeah. And by the way, can I speak for some parents that go through this for the first time? How about some lessons for the parents on how to put the gear on?
Like, so that's part of it.
It takes a while for the first couple times. Like, we were a machine after a while, but early on, man, we had to allow for time to get him suited up.
That's really, you're really nice. With my kid, it's like sink or swim, buddy. You know, I'm going to get you there early. You're on your own. You got to figure it out. And you know what's really wild? It's like when you take your kids to like preschool and you're not really sure they're truly potty trained yet, right? You know, yeah. But peer pressure is a powerful thing. It's like now I was always tying my son's skates because he wanted them really tight. And then he got, you know, on a hockey team and it's like, Dad, don't. No, I'm tying my own skates. Yeah. You're not touching my skates. It's like they look a little loose, buddy. He goes, I'll figure it out. You're not tying my skates. And so you just got to let him go, you know?
Yep. We do consider for all that stuff. So if you join a Little Preds program, now we ask that you do a learn to skate program. So Scott has a learn to skate
program. Yeah,
you've
got to learn to skate.
That helps so much.
You can't skate
out there. It's tough to do the passing and shooting.
And we'll tell them to start in figure skates because they'll advance quicker, right? And then once they get to a certain level, you can go to hockey skates in an afternoon and you're totally 100%. But you go quicker on figure skates because they're a little more predictable. You still learn how to slide a little bit. And then, you know, it's like I tell all the parents all the time because they really want to get kids right playing hockey now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, would you put your child in soccer if they didn't know how to run? And they're like, well, no. And it's like, well, why would you put them in hockey if they don't know how to skate? You know, so we have a great learn to skate. It's a top 10 learn to skate in the country. And, you know, we just get the kids through quick. We get them through safely.
Yep.
We keep them motivated. It's a joyful environment. And then, bam, they're playing, you know.
Yep.
And it's,
we get them into our program.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it is. It works really well. They can transition from Scott's programs into one of our programs and then from there into House League. And then they join the Junior Preds or the Travel Program.
Pred Select, too.
It's nice that Nashville has such a plethora of teams. I know it wasn't always like that, talking with some of the parents of the older kids that, and they come to me and they thank me for the programs that we're putting on. And just, first of all, the free gear makes a huge difference. It's probably $300 to $400 of free.
People don't realize that.
Right? Like, so we
I mean, those bags, I mean, the helmets, everything
yeah,
is.
Everything.
Yeah,
get kids club packs.
It's expensive.
Hockey is an expensive sport, so we're trying to do our best to make it a little easier on the parents. So,
My son had to buy a new stick. He broke his stick at practice the other day, and it's like, ow.
You mean him buy it himself?
Yeah, he's got to go out and get a stick.
You learn the value of a stick.
Like,
yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
So we always kind of playing baseball that we were always looking for that sport because I've talked to enough athletes, you know, always, especially early on to push kids to play multiple sports, you know, don't just get stuck in one thing just because, you know, the burnout factor tends to creep up. And so we're always looking for something in between seasons. And for him, that was hockey. And so we were always telling the baseball families, go to Fordyce Center. Get in these programs. You can go to a Predators game. You can get on the website. You can get all this information. Fordyce, they're there for you, and it's available, and there's a lot of it that's free. It's And it's great. I mean, the programs are fantastic. The teachers, it's that was what impressed me the most, is just how patient. I mean, you've got all these little kids everywhere, patient everybody is.
We had 53 three-year-olds in a Saturday morning class.
Just think about that.
It was cats in a bathtub. It was like, it was hilarious. And, it was like more like trying to, herd them, and again, keep them going. And some of them are crawling. Some of them are, getting off the ice. Some are crying. Some are just totally. It was hilarious. But all those kids, They got great coaching. They had a great experience. They had a lot of fun. And they just, that's the whole thing is if you make it fun, it's sticky, right? They're going to want to do it. And the other thing, the Go Skate program, where if you've never skated before, you're 12 years or younger, and you've never done this before, you can get scholarshiped into the Go Skate program. And then at the end of that first 7 weeks, you get a free pair of skates. And that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Because rental skates are the bane of my existence. I used to be pretty good. I can't stand up in those things. So we got to fix that problem.
I think I was in New York and we did one of those. I was with a friend in New York and we went skating. And, she knew I'd played hockey before, but I went out there and I could barely stand up. Yeah. And I'm thinking, if I can't stand up,
what chance do they have, right?
They're not sharpened.
So you and me, Cody, we're going to figure this thing out. We're going to make sure quality skates are going to be available for rental so people have a good experience.
Yeah, you can't skate if you're so dull.
We can't talk about this because it's not going to be for business. But, generally, we have brand new skates, every year. They're really new and they're as good as you can get.
Our programs are good, yeah.
Oh. But it's hilarious, and kind of just get involved. And now that we're embedded, right, we can figure out how to fix things that need to be fixed.
Oh, yeah.
And what's really cool, too, about and I want Cody to chime in on this, is that when we started, we didn't want there to be any limitations. We didn't want there to be any barriers. We didn't want it to be where anybody was underserved, right? So, wheelchair hockey is huge. Sled hockey is huge at Fordyce. And the other thing was we needed to build a program for special needs skater. And so we went to U.S. Figure Skating. They gave us a huge grant through Prudential. And we were able to start, the All-Stars program, which is, skaters with intellectual disability. And went from those very first sessions where there was so much fear to now, man, they're cheering each other on and they're independent and they're out there skating and having a blast. And it's just, it's awesome. And Cody
brings a huge
showed up once and then he's like there all the time, which is really great.
Yeah, I guess got all the credit. The programs that we were able to create there is really changing people's lives. It's not just a Saturday afternoon for these families. They're geared up to it, and we still keep in contact with a lot of them that have come and had to not continue. And but just the whole program, the whole premise there, they're making friends, they're making some amazing experiences for them, and also the family. The other kids get involved, and it's something the whole family can get around. So I was actually got involved just by fluke. I didn't know what I was getting a part of. One of the foundation people asked if I would mind handing out the awards to the All-Stars. And I thought it would be like midget All-Stars, 14, 15-year-old kids that came out, had like an All-Star game, and I would hand out an award for the MVP or something. And so I got there, and they said, great, I'm glad you're here. Would you mind throwing on your jersey and skates? And I'm thinking, I don't know any red carpet I've ever gone on and handed the trophy and skates and a jersey. But I said, yeah, sure, okay. So I walked out there, and as soon as I got on the ice, the kids turned to me and went, oh, a real hockey player. Came over and gave me a big hug. They're all happy, smiling. They didn't know who I was, but they were just happy to have another person on the ice.
They know who you are now.
They now know, yeah.
Big time. Is Cody coming? And it was so funny because two of our main coaches just happened to have a background in special needs.
That's perfect.
Education. And it's like, wow. Now we're really good at that, and it seems like pretty much everything that happens out there, it just sort of blossoms. We did, Paula Trujillo, who runs the Learn to Skate program, we're doing I was gone at the Olympics, and she goes, we need to do curling just for fun, just to do it for fun. And so they started curling, and it's beyond capacity, so they've kept it. Now we have a full curling
program. That was Paula's idea?
Yeah.
No kidding.
And now you've got, who's the guy from the NHL that's trying to make the Olympics? He's out there all the time. Oh, I can't remember. Oh,
he's from the NHL and trying to play.
NFL.
He's there's a group of them.
There's a whole group of them. Yeah, they're trying to make the Olympic team. And now they're looking for space to have a dedicated like curling club where they can just do nothing but curling. And it's just like it all just catches fire. It's awesome.
Mark Bolger, isn't he one of them? Mark Bolger. There's a group of them here in Nashville. I mean, these are like big name guys in the NFL that obviously are retired. I didn't know if they were still. I knew that they were doing it early on. I didn't know if they were still.
No, they're serious. They're like, it's legit. Yeah, they want to go all the way.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's exciting, you know, and everything we're doing with, you know, skating and you know, cancer and what we're doing with, you know, all these different things and just trying to ignite a community to get behind it all and to not only just skate, but to use skating to solve problems through our Skate to Eliminate Cancer program. And then, you know, My Cares Foundation, the big event that's coming up at Bridgestone Arena on the 24th. So we're just trying to make a difference, and we're trying to, you know, allow young skaters to become philanthropists, you know, which is a big word. They don't even know how to say it, but they're doing it, right? And it's been a lot of fun.
We will actually talk about that event on the other side. I still, by the way, it for people that have been listening to this, to see, well, I can't get past 53-year-olds. That's wow. But when you see them start off at the beginning with like buckets, they're pushing around buckets, and then the next thing you know, they're scared to death. They want to leave the ice. And then you see them just buzzing around, and they just keep moving up and going through the different levels. And then it's fun. It's a fun ride to see them advance, where you knew that they started off, they were scared to death. You weren't even sure if they were going to make it through the first session. They're pushing a bucket around, and the next thing you know, all that is in the distant past, and
so quick.
Away they go.
Yeah, they can do it within 6 weeks. In our programs, we start off with maybe 20 kids in our Learn to Skate program where they just haven't got enough skills yet to enjoy the passing and shooting and that aspect of it. By the end, there's maybe one kid each session. We've done, you know, we're in 7 states or 16 cities. We're kind of all over the states. And it's a testament really to our coaches. They have a ton of patience, and they've learned a few tricks as well. One thing we do is we bring a red carpet out on the ice. So the kids who've never skated before, they can walk on there. They get away from their parents, and that's a big thing, too. The kids that just kind of want to stick to mom and dad, we get them away from there so they can be independent. From there, they can go at their own speed when they want to try to get off there and actually skate. But at the beginning, we were out there picking up kids and setting them up, and then we'd turn and pick up another kid, and then the other kid would fall down, so we'd pick him up. It's kind of save your back, really. But, you know, the programs that these guys have and the coaches, they're true professionals. They do this for a living, and they enjoy it, too.
The first time I took notice of Paula is I literally said to my wife, I want whatever she's on or drinking or whatever.
Oh,
like,
man.
The energy
awesome.
She has to do that.
Yeah.
I was like, give me some of that.
She'll get, like, you know, after, like, week one or two, she'll get everybody line dancing out there, and they just follow around like the Pied Piper. I mean, she's doing the time warp from, you know, Rocky Horror, and she's doing all these things, and all the kids are like mesmerized, and they just want to do what she's doing, and it's hilarious.
We will come back more here from Scouts Pub in Franklin. It's Smashville Live. Of course, every week brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Don't forget, you've still got a chance to pop in here, register to win tickets to see the Predators and the Blackhawks Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. You are listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Still live on this Wednesday night. We're here in Franklin. This is a great area. Scouts Pub, West Haven. Man, this is fantastic. First time I've been in here. Really, really cool place on this Wednesday night. Darren McFarland, Scott Hamilton, Cody Hodson here. We got a chance still for you to come in here and win some tickets. By the way, Ryan Porth, who was doing Preds Insiders the hour before this here, texted me and said Jared Allen was one of the other ones. And that's right, Jared Allen. Who obviously had a very lucrative NFL career, was a heck of an athlete. I have no idea where it's going. Those guys,
wish them luck. That's impressive. They can do it.
You guys know. I mean, you just don't pick up. They're gonna have to put the work in. But
my dad was, you know, he was part of the curling club in Bowling Green at the university because he was a professor there. And it's honestly the only Olympic sport where you can drink while you're competing, and it's kind of part of the culture.
I think
that's
the appeal to a lot of people. Yeah.
Your fourth annual event is coming up.
Yeah.
In what, 10 days? Next Sunday. Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's a week from Sunday, 5 p.m., Bridgestone Arena. And, fourth annual. And this one, you know, this one was a bit of a challenge to get together and pull it all. And it's going to be so much fun. One of my board members said, you know, it's your 35th anniversary. And it's like, man, I'm old. But he goes, you know, we got to celebrate that. So we're doing a lot of 80s stuff. We got Kenny Loggins coming in.
You
know, Jonathan Cain is coming. He's going to do Journey songs. We got John Elefante doing Kansas stuff. And Gavin DeGraw and Runaway June. And Bart Millard, who does the show every year from Mercy Me. We're having breakfast together. And he goes, you want me to bring the guys? I go, sure. It's like Mercy Me is going to be there.
Awesome.
You know, it's like, it's big. And then the skating, it happens in front of all the music. It's live music. And the skating in front of it is, you know, Davis and White, who won Olympic gold medal. First ice dance team ever from the United States to win ice dancing. You've got Katya Gordieva, two-time Olympic gold medalist. You got, you know, Jeff Buttle, world champion, Olympic medalist. Ryan Bradley, Alyssa Sisney. You know, you've got these national, Max Aaron, Weaver and Poche from Canada, who missed a world championship by .06.
Oh.
You know, one of the greatest dance teams in the world. The reigning U.S. pairs champions, Ashley King Gribble and Timothy LeDuc. It's their first time doing the show with us, and it's just, it's spectacular to see skating at that level so close, because we basically turned Bridgestone Arena into a theater. You know, we bring all the seats all the way down to the ice, and it's just this incredible atmosphere. It's electric, and can't really see anything see anything like it anywhere else. It's the only show like it performed in the United States, and it's only done once a year. So it's a great thing for the family, and it's in, and all the proceeds go to cancer research. So we're really working hard to try to change cancer forever. We only fund one thing, and that's immunotherapy, teaching our own bodies how to destroy the cancer instead of bringing all these chemicals like chemo and radiation. Really, it's just teaching our bodies how to deal with the cancer without having to go through all that other stuff. So it's you know, everybody's invited. It's a big party. It's a celebration of life, and we just really want to, you know, just big push ticket sales at the end. They're not too expensive. You know, they're just really good seats, really great night. And again, it's the only one like it in the country, and it's only done once a year in Nashville.
I remember talking to you the first year of it. I just said it's the fourth annual, and I have talked to Brent Peterson over the years with his, you know, PD for Parkinson's, and I know you guys are fully aware of it, Scott. I know I've seen you there many, 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 many times, hosting and doing all kinds of stuff. To see that thing grow over the years, I remember when it was at the factory out here in Franklin, and it just it got so big it had to be at Bridgestone Arena. And then his golf event, which is a well-oiled machine, and it's a
two morning sessions
and an afternoon session. And for everybody that thinks that's easy, go try it and see how you can pull it off. It's not easy. And I've talked to him about that. I said, I've done so many charity, been a part of charity events for a long, long time. Been fortunate because of what I do, and I know there's so much incredible work behind the scenes to make all of it happen. And I hear the names and the people in your event and what you're pulling off in one setting. It's got to be a lot of work behind the scenes.
I don't sleep much in the fall. You know, I wake up in a cold sweat going, like, you know, and you know, again, the nature of it is, you know, that these artists, they donate their time. You know, and it's really hard to get their attention when it's a donated time. It's like, can we,
can I borrow you?
No, we need kind of the music so we can get it to our skaters so they can build a routine around it. And we need, wouldn't it be, and it's like, hello? 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 It's like, oh, man, we're going to try it again. And so, you know, a lot of it just comes in at the last minute, and it just, everybody is pretty much spread out all over the country learning their parts, and then we come together and we rehearse for 8 hours a day before the show to learn all the group pieces and start assembling the show. And then the musical artists and the skaters really meet on the day of the show, and we run the music to make sure everybody's on the same page, and then it's showtime. And it's extremely stressful. This is the 25th show I've produced like this, and it's like, I wonder why I don't have hair. You know, it's like, it's like, the hardest thing
ever. Oh, it doesn't get easier, Scott?
No, it doesn't. In fact, one of my best friends, you know, he kind of helped me get through my cancer, was supposed to be in the show, and he tore a hamstring. And so I replaced him, and it took me 10 minutes to replace him. And it's that kind of stuff. It's like knowing what's out there, knowing and having that kind of capital with people, and know they love doing the show, and they're hoping to get the invitation. And so I reached out to a two-time Canadian men's champion. And he's in Moscow right now. And he said, sure, I'll be there. Like, yeah. When can I get my music? And I go, Dropbox? In about 10 minutes. You know, so it's great. The skaters love to do it. The artists at the end, like last year, I was thanking Florida Georgia Line. I go, have I thanked you yet? And they go, no, thank you, because this is a phenomenal experience. And the artists have the best seat in the house. During rehearsal last year, Ryan Bradley went upside down a few times, like he was doing all these backflips. And the, you know, the players would be playing, and they'd stop. back to the music. And it's just it's awesome. It's just, there's nothing like it. And again, we, you know, this year there was a bit of a challenge that we need to get people behind us, and we need to sell a lot of tickets, and you know, I'm just hoping we get a huge turnout.
I know everyone who's involved with in previous years and just around the rink, it's an exciting time. Everyone wants to be a part of it or watch it. I wish I could be in town for it, to be honest. Oh, I had to miss last
so
year's
fun.
Too, but yeah, no, it's a big event around town.
It's like sensory overload. You know, when Vince Gill did the show for me in Cleveland, I used to have a show there, but now it's only Nashville. About song 4, he goes, hey, you guys, I just got to tell y'all, this is probably the most ignored I've ever been in my entire career. But it's like the relationship between skater and musician is really special, and everybody loves doing it. And Sheryl Crow is going to host it again this year. You know, she'll
That's
be
awesome.
The mistress of ceremonies, and so it's and it's just really great to see another side to her. She's hilarious, and when she's bringing the artists on, she, because we rotate. It's not like here goes, here's Jonathan Cain, here's Kenny Loggins. So we move them around, and everybody takes turns. It's almost like an artist sing around, like, you know, the songwriter sing around.
That's a perfect town for it.
It's really great. And the artists, they get to sit back and perform, and then if they want to jump in, they can, you know, sing on somebody else's music, or whoever wants to drop in and just perform. It's really fun.
We just did the radio show a couple weeks ago on a Friday over at Lipscomb Academy. Trent Dilfer's the football coach.
Yeah.
Cheryl Crow's kids go there.
Yeah.
He told us that their first game of the season, she did a pregame concert
at
a high school game. I was like, only in Nashville.
Yeah.
Can you get Sheryl Crow to do the pregame concert before a high school football game? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
5 o'clock next Sunday, that's November 24th, Bridgestone Arena. Tickets to the event are currently on sale at Ticketmaster.com. It's for a great cause. You brought it up. Both of you, look, this is the perfect month to talk about it. Hockey Fights Cancer and all the great work that goes on there with the Pediatric Cancer Fund and the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital and 365 and Predators Foundation. And you know what it's like as a player to walk in that room, Scott. You know what it's like to see. You went through this, and now you talk to so many people. What does it mean, your event, going through it, when you talk to people, when you deal with kids in a hospital, they're going through just a horrible thing. I've talked to some of these kids and said, you are way braver than me. Way braver than
me. You know, it's almost like for some, you know, they kind of don't really listen to the statistics. You know, it's 1 in 2 men will face cancer. Now I've had it, so, you know, one of you guys get to take the rest of it off, right? You know, so it's okay. You guys can fight it out and who that is. But it's 1 in 3 women. And it's astounding just how pervasive it is. Everybody's touched by it. I lost my mother to cancer when I was 18, and it devastated me. And then 20 years later, I'm diagnosed with cancer, and I now knew what it was like to go through it. And I knew, you know, just from all the things that I've learned and all the places I've traveled, that we can do better. We can do so much better in the way people are treated for cancer. And the science exists. And it was funny, we were just in Washington, D.C., and through our Skate to Eliminate Cancer peer-to-peer fundraising program, we fund the Children's National Hospital, their immunotherapy program there. And I met one of the doctors, and he goes, wait a minute, how long have you been doing this? I go, 5 years. And he just looked at me and goes, huh? How did you know? Right? Because the first immunotherapy drug was introduced 3 years ago. And then last year, James P. Allison won the Nobel Prize for Medicine for his work in immunotherapy, his groundbreaking work. But it's when you travel and you're dedicated and you're in this world all the time trying to change it, you know what's next. You can see it coming. And so we just went all in. And we know we're right. We know that the science has so far passed the funding that we need to close the gap as best we can. We're very, very collaborative. We work with all kinds of different organizations, mainly the V Foundation, and they're bringing in ESPN, and they're awesome. And so we're working really hard. And you know, my executive director Carrie Morgan works 26-hour days, and you know, she's passionate about it, and she's amazing. And we just everything I do, I just try to honor my mom. Honor the next patient going through it. I mentored a dad before I came over tonight whose son just was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And I said, okay, tell me about what's going on. Here's who you need to talk to. And you know, we just do the best we can to help the next person going through it, but ultimately with the goal of changing it forever. More people fear treatment than death when it comes to cancer, and that's wrong. You know, chemotherapy, I'm here 22 years later, and but we can do better. We truly can do better, and that's why I do the work that I do. And I can't do it alone. We need to get a big group of people behind this because it's not just my problem. It's the number one cause of death, and it's everyone's touched by it.
Yeah, everyone's affected. Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, one more segment here from Scouts Pub in Franklin out here in West Haven. You are listening to Smashville Live right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Smashville Live, brought to you every Wednesday by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. This Wednesday, we're out here in the Franklin area, West Haven to be exact, Scouts Pub, Darren McFarlane, Cody Hudson, Scott Hamilton, and he has brought a friend. He's got his friends. It's Sunday, but he's brought his friend.
One friend
who's very shiny and heavy.
It's funny because I never really wanted it around, but because this is an anniversary year and we're kind of celebrating that, when I was in Colorado for my son's hockey tournament, I went to the museum in Colorado Springs and I picked up my gold medal. And it's the first time my son ever saw it because I don't
really,
it lived in my underwear drawer for 8 years because I just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, what do you do? I didn't want to and I saw so many people get stuck in that moment that they couldn't. And I had this thing, I had this plan. I wanted to do all these great, fun things, and I didn't want to get stuck. So I kind of buried it. And then as soon as I could get rid of it, I got rid of it. And so it lives in Colorado Springs at the World Figure Skating Hall of Fame Museum. And so I brought it back for this, and it'll be in the concourse show day, and it's the actual. There's only one. Yeah, in fact, what's really cool about Olympic gold medals is they make just enough, and then they crush the mold, so none can ever be made again. And every medal from every host Olympics is different. Like, it's their design, it's their culture, it's whatever it is. And this one, you can see, it's kind of rustic. It's square and it's kind of rustic, and it's because of the history of Yugoslavia, and they just felt it represented their culture. And Christiane Magucci, she got totally ripped off because her medal is in Albertville. Her medal is glass. There's gold in it, but it's like, what a ripoff. It's like, you could drop your medal and break it. It's like, all you can do is bend mine or scratch it, but yours can shatter. It's like, that's not fair. But yeah, everyone is different. Everyone has its own identity. So I'm not, my other three kids have never seen it. I've had it home for well over a month, but it's hidden somewhere, and it's just like, I'm always afraid I'm going to throw it away by accident, So I don't want it around, so it's going to be in the concourse during the event on Sunday the 24th, and if you want to come by and see it, you're more than welcome to do that.
Really cool.
I never saw one until I won it. So I thought, I should be in a place where young skaters could see it, and kind of it comes to life in a way.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be in, when you see something like that, you automatically go to the amount of preparation and
determination, the amount of work that you put in for that medal.
Well, it's kind of, I know I say it all the time. Like, I was with the National Sports Council yesterday, and it's like, what in the world? It's like, I do that all the time. It's like, I look at this, and it's like, what in the world? It's like, how, it doesn't make sense to me, because I know me, and it's like, the me that I know is 100% incapable of doing that, you know, but it happened, and it's kind of like, wow, that's awesome.
Well, Gina from our staff came up to you during the break and said, did you know?
Yeah.
When did you know it was going to be yours?
Well, and it's funny because in October of 1980, after the 80 Olympics, I was fifth in the 80 Olympics. The top three guys retired, so I'm ranked overnight. I'm ranked second in the world. It's like a great cup of coffee to wake up to that news. And so I had to beat one guy. And so starting in October of 80 through March of 84, I never lost a competition. So going into the Olympics, the media was going, well, you know, if you don't win, you lost. And it's like, well, I'm gonna avoid you guys until this thing is over. And it was stressful because, you know, it's kind of a gauntlet to go through 4 years of, you know, trying to not lose a competition and be in place to, you know, or favored to win, you know, the Olympics. And I realized year two that it's just guys. I'm just competing against these guys. And there's some really good guys out there, but I just got to figure out a way to strategize and stay ahead of them or figure out a way to beat them. And by the time I got to 84, there were these two young guys named Brian who I knew were going to rule for the next four after that. And Brian Boitano came in second to me in Nationals, and he was fifth at the Olympics. And Brian Orser destroyed me in the long program. Like, it was a clinic. He just absolutely crushed me. But I was so far ahead that he couldn't catch me. I won the figures part of the competition, which was really hard, and he was eighth. So there was, like, I had such a lead that it was going to be hard for him to catch up.
As we wrap this up quickly, I know, Cody, you play in team sports, just to what Scott said, what it's like, that pressure. I mean, the Browns, all the pressure this year. Oh, they're going to the playoffs. And look at them. They've, you know, the Predators had, after coming off the big season, the pressure. Oh, it's like win it all or bust. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot to take on where you know that ultimately you either have to do exactly what Scott did, or people are going to view you as, you know, you or the team as it was a failed season.
Yeah, I think there's two different types of pressure. There's good pressure and there's bad pressure. The stuff that you put on yourself to succeed, that's good pressure. You have high expectations for yourself. But if you're looking at it from other people's expectations on you, what you should be, where they place you, I think those are pretty negative. Especially, like, I played for the Vancouver Canucks, and we were, you know, we got down early we were up three games to nothing over Chicago, and they came back and made it 3-3. Like, if you were to say at the beginning of the season, you know, we're going to be one game away from moving on to the conference final, would you take it? And say, obviously, everyone would be like, yeah, for sure, we'd take that. But because you just gave up this three-game lead, you know, now you have all this negative pressure, all the people saying, oh, if you do lose this, you know, you've lost it, you didn't give it to them. Like, there's a lot of negative things that run through your brain that you kind of have to push away. So there's good pressure where you're striving forward to beat other players, but there's also the negative stuff that comes into play when you don't have to have – you're not thinking about the game.
Yeah, good stuff. That is going to do it for our program here, Smashville Live at Scouts Pub in Franklin. For Scott Hamilton, Cody Hotson, I'm Darren McFarland. You have a great rest of your night. I want to thank our great sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Don't forget, go get those tickets next Sunday, November 24th at 5 p.m. over at Bridgestone Arena. Scott Hamilton and friends, you can get those tickets at Ticketmaster.com. But guys, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Stay tuned. Penalty Box Radio is next with Justin Bradford.